valuable time in God's Word. So thank you for coming. I appreciate your welcome, the invitation to come and minister. And God has been good to us. We have two daughters, five grandchildren, and one's in Batavia, New York. Carissa, our younger daughter Anna, is presently in the country of Panama, where she is teaching at the International School of Panama. And so it's our pleasure to go down there. It's always a good time to get away from Western New York in the winter months. when you head to Panama, it's rare to find snow there. A very lovely part of the world. Why don't we bow our heads and pray? Father, I pray that you will bless, that you will lead, that you will instruct. Well, this is your word we're dealing with. This is not just mere opinion of men and women. It's not of human origin. It certainly is a product and work of your Holy Spirit. And we're thankful that we have all of God's word in our own language. God, I pray that you will increase our knowledge, our understanding. We are indeed thankful, as has been said earlier, that we serve a risen Savior. And we're thankful because of the resurrection of Christ. We meet on every Sunday and we think of that resurrection theme and celebrate it. We believe it, and we believe that's not the end of the story. There's so much, much more to come that will last a whole eternity. And so in the meantime, open our eyes, help us see Jesus, help us see wondrous things out of thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to have us turn to the Gospel of John chapter 20 this morning. John chapter 20. Unbeliever turned believer. John chapter 20, we're going to start with verse 24. John 20 and verse 24. The Bible says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's a key verse here in our text this morning. And you are familiar, I'm sure, with the resurrection story, Jesus' appearance to Mary Magdalene, her running to the disciples to bring them word. It didn't meet with a real positive response. Mary came, the disciples on their way to Emmaus in Luke 24 came running to the disciples, and all they got was, we don't believe it. They hesitated. And so if we kind of put Thomas in a real back seat here, we always call him Doubting Thomas. We think he had a real problem. What's his problem here? How much evidence does the guy need? But the thing is, one thing about Thomas, he's being very honest about how he really felt. Dr. David Jeremiah reminds us that Thomas was faithful but cautious. Faithful but cautious. He was detail-oriented, a man not given to rumors. He wanted to see the wounds in Jesus' hands and side before he would believe that he was truly risen from the grave. His faith was as strong as the others, but his temperament was different. When he finally saw Jesus in person, he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." Dr. Jeremiah goes on to briefly say, doubts can drive us further into Scripture and closer to God as we seek answers for our questions. If you have doubts, pursue God until they are resolved. Where do we pursue God? There's one answer to that, and that's in His Word. Okay? We come to Jesus on the basis not of sight, but of faith. I want you to notice in verse 27, first of all, Jesus' invitation to Thomas here. He gave him an invitation. He didn't come condemning Thomas. It is rather fascinating, is it not, that Thomas was not with him 8 days ago, and yet Jesus knew right where he was at. I think that should have spoken a little bit to his heart, for sure. Jesus was present. I really like the fact that Jesus meets us right where we are. This morning, He knows right where you're at. You're either saved in Christ or you're not saved in Christ. You're either heaven-bound or you're hell-bound. Amen? That's what the Word says. We're either a child of God by faith in Christ, or we are, unfortunately, a child of the devil. There's no in-between. There's no shades of gray with us. We either belong to Him or we do not. Thomas was a disciple, but he was cautious with this. Jesus basically said to Thomas, "Here I am, Thomas. Go for it. You want to see? You want to touch? Here I am. Go ahead. Touch me. Handle me and see." I don't believe there's evidence from Scripture that he even had to touch Christ. There seems to be clear wording here that all Jesus had to do was stand in front of him and say the word and speak his truth. And Jesus is saying to Thomas, "Be not faithless, be not unbelieving, Thomas, but be believing." That's where we all need to be today. So we see Jesus' invitation to Thomas in verse 27 there. Secondly, we see Thomas' confession of faith in the risen Savior. Jesus brought Thomas to a genuine personal faith in Him. I like the pronoun "my." My Lord and my God. He didn't feel like he was on the outside looking in. Philippians 2 is pretty clear about what the Bible says about the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2, 10, 11. Back in the time Paul wrote, many were saying Caesar is Lord. The Roman Caesar, he was emperor, he was Lord. And anybody that didn't agree with that was inviting a lot of trouble and outright persecution. The Bible doesn't say, praise God, that Caesar is Lord. It doesn't say the Pharaoh of Egypt is Lord. It says Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is quite a straightforward confession. I wonder... We can know Jesus as Savior, And we may have made that initial step of faith in Christ as Savior. But do we experience daily the Lordship of Jesus Christ? That raises it to a different new level. Is he Lord of all? Someone once said, if he isn't Lord of all, he isn't Lord at all. That's something to ponder today. And then notice that he not only ascribed to Jesus Lordship, but he ascribed to him absolute deity. He didn't say, oh, my Lord and my teacher even. He didn't say my counselor. He didn't say you're a good man and a fine example here. He said, my God. My God. Every believer in Christ realizes Jesus Christ was none the less than God in the flesh. We believe in what we call the incarnation. Amen? God became human flesh. John 1:14. The Word, which was God, became flesh, dwelled among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My Lord and my God. This was a turning point for Thomas. Many believe that not only did he get his life squared away in following Jesus, but he went on to be quite the preacher. Many believe, Bible historians and scholars believe, he even traveled to the land of India with the gospel and was martyred for his faith. And it's my understanding that over in India to this day, there's a church named after him. And so, how thankful we can be that with all of our struggle, with all of our doubts, where we have issues, we struggle walking with the Lord daily. We struggle recognizing his Lordship. And even though we're sinners saved by grace, yet we still sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, do we not? The truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to also notice finally that the eye of faith, this is verse 29 here, the eye of faith has a much deeper sense of vision, a much deeper sense of vision than an attitude of unbelief. Unbelievers say that seeing is believing. That's not entirely true with everybody out there. Even remember when Jesus died on the cross, when he was on the cross. Remember what some of the chief priests were saying? You come down from the cross and will believe. Jesus knew it wasn't true. And praise God, he didn't come down from the cross. Could he have? I believe so. Tempted in all points as we are. Can't imagine the level of temptation he faced. Yet he was always the victor. He always stood true to the will of God, the will of the Father. I saw this cute little story by a Mrs. Rounds here that I want to pass along to you. Good to see the children here this morning. I've been to, Callie and I, back in 1993, came to Phelps, New York with our two daughters, and there was only one other child in the ministry there. So we doubled, tripled the attendance with the children. But so good to see the boys and girls here. This story's cute. Mrs. Rounds goes on to say, when my little son was about 10 years old, his grandmother promised him a stamp collecting album for Christmas. Christmas came and went with no stamp album and no word from Grandma. The matter, however, was not mentioned until his friends came to see his Christmas presents. I was astonished after he'd listed all the gifts he had received to hear him add, and a stamp album for my grandmother. After hearing this several times, I called my son to me and said, "But George, you didn't get a stamp album from Grandma. Why did you say you did?" With a puzzled look on his face, as if I had asked a very strange question, he replied, "Well, Mom, Grandma said, and that is the same as." Not a word from me would sway his faith. A month passed, nothing else was said about the album. Finally, one day, to test his faith, and because I wondered in my own heart why the album had not been sent, I said, "George, I think Grandma has forgotten her promise." "Oh no, Mom," he quickly and firmly responded, "she hasn't." I watched his sweet, trusting face, which for a while looked very serious, as if he were debating the possibility I had suggested. Soon his face brightened as he said, "Do you think it would do any good for me to write Grandma, thanking her for the album?" "I don't know," I said, "but you might try it." A rich spiritual truth then began to dawn on me. In a few minutes, a letter was written and mailed. As George went off whistling his confidence in his grandma. Soon a letter from Grandma arrived with this message. "My dear George, I have not forgotten my promise to you for a stamp album. I could not find the one you wanted here, so I ordered one from New York. It did not arrive until after Christmas, and it was not the right one. I then ordered another, but it still has not arrived. I've decided to send you $30 instead, so that you may buy the one you want in Chicago. Your loving Grandma." As he read the letter, his face was the face of a victor. From the depths of a heart that never doubted came the words, "Now, Mom, didn't I tell you?" George, against all hope, in hope believed that the stamp album would come. And while he was trusting, Grandma was working, and in due time, faith became sight. That's quite a story I want to pass along to you. Unbelievers say seeing is believing. Believers in Christ say, hey, believing is seeing. See the difference? Believing is seeing. And yet, our faith is only as valuable as the object of our faith. Where is our trust being placed? The pastor, preacher, deacon is no substitute for God and the Lord Jesus, of course. I really like what the Apostle Paul has to say in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18. "Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," and boy, I've talked to a number of you before the service and we're feeling our ears. And yet I look at Bible verses like this, it's very encouraging to think that the affliction, struggle, trouble we go through, the stress of life, our light affliction. And he calls it that because he goes on to say, which is, "But for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are" what? "Temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal." That's quite a statement to me. What's truly valuable, what will be eternal, is what we can't see yet. But faith will turn into sight, and we can certainly rejoice in that this morning. I wanted to wrap it up with a poem for you today by E.M. Winter. He says these words, it's very straightforward, easy to read, easy to understand. He wrote here, I do not ask that he must prove his word is true to me, and that before I can believe, he must first let me see. It is enough for me to know it's true because he says it so. On his unchanging word, I'll stand and trust till I can understand. Is that not what the Bible says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do you need direction? There you go. There you go. Trust in the Lord. And that word trust also means to really lean hard upon. Lean hard upon him, not on yourself, what you can grasp, but on the Lord. Thank you very much, patience and listening. Appreciate it.